पुरामया प्रोक्तम अजायनभ्ये पद्मे निशनाय ममादि सर्गे। ज्ञानं परं मन्महिमावभासम् यत्सुरयो भागवतं वदन्ति। पुरा in the days of yore, maya, by me, proktam, was said, ajaya, unto Brahma, nabye, out of the navel, padme, on the lotus, nishanaya, unto the one situated on, mama, my, Addi Sarge, in the beginning of creation, jnanam, knowledge, param, sublime, mat mahima, my transcendental glories, avabhasam, that which clarifies, yat, which, surayaha, the great learned sages, bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, vadanti, to do say. O Uddhava, in the latest millennium, in the days of yore, at the beginning of the creation, I spoke unto Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that grows out of my navel, about my transcendental glories, which the great sages describe as Srimad Bhagavatam. Purport. The explanation of the Supreme Self as given to Brahma and already explained in the second canto of this great literature is further clarified herein. The Lord said that the concise form of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained to Brahma, was meant to elucidate his personality. The impersonal explanation of those four verses in the second canto is nullified herewith. Sridhar Swami also explains in this connection that the same concise form of the Bhagavatam concerned the pastimes of Lord Krishna and was never meant for impersonal indulgence. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, what is the Srimad Bhagavatam about? This verse Baz says, clarifies, or shall we say, the Srimad Bhagavatam's purpose is established here or supported here in this statement, that it is meant to understand the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedic literature is presented basically with three purposes in mind. The first is that it presents sambandha, that is, knowledge of our relationship with our relationships with each other. An understanding of our prime relationship with Krishna, but also a thorough understanding of all of the relationships that might exist in support of that prime relationship. You know, in the material creation, it's not possible for us. Well, it's possible for us to have a direct relationship with Krishna. It's certainly possible. But on the whole, most of us don't have that. Or certainly we have that relationship, but it is not directly perceivable. Right? We see the external forms, but rarely do we see the internal form of the Super soul, Hridesh Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna says, I'm situated within everybody's heart. But how many of us are aware of that relationship and can see Krishna? Our methodology for understanding our relationship with Krishna is Shastra Chakshush. We see through the eye of the Shastra, rather than see with the, you know, with the eyeball, right? Because, you know, what can the eyeball see? It's limited. The range of experience that we have in seeing or experiencing things with our material senses is very, very limited. And we're supposedly the most advanced animal. Right? We're the most advanced. Yet what can we see? Can't see what's going on outside these walls. Can't see the form of the of our spiritual being, our spiritual identity, which is the essence of who we are. No soul, no nothing. Right? Without the presence of the soul, nothing works. Without the presence of the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the whole of the creation, entering into the creation in the form of his energy, it doesn't work. Nothing works. So we have to see, or we have to be trained how to see by the study of the Shastra, to see that which is beyond the material purview of the senses requires information from a higher source. And so therefore Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literature, especially for this age of Kali, because that knowledge or learning would be lost. The quality of the teachers is lost, the quality of the students is diminished. And the summum bonum Nigama kapa torogali tam phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge is contained within the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it's explained here that the Srimad Bhagavatam was first of all presented to Brahma for the purpose of clarifying all of these relationships, the sambandha. Who's who, right? You know, they have these who's who books to delineate who are the important people. The actual who's who is the Srimad Bhagavatam. That tells us who is what within the whole scheme of things. You know, you often get if you're speaking to a South Indian audience, very often they'll say, "Oh no, Krishna's an incarnation of Vasudeva, of Vishnu," right? Because they haven't studied the Srimad Bhagavatam, which clarifies everything. Ete champsa kala pumsa Krishna's tu Bhagavan swayam. Very clearly, the Bhagavatam tells us. Here are the range of incarnations. Here are the Leela avatars. Here are the Purusha. Well, first of all, the Purusha avatars. Here's how the material creation comes into existence. You know, the modern scientists are hoping that by staring into outer space, right, with their microscopes, they can work out the source of the creation. Right? Spend, you know, millions and millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, or building, what do they call them? You know, these colliders, smash atoms together, then they hope to be able to determine the source of the creation. Now, all they need to do is purchase a set of Srimad Bhagavatams and they'll be able to find out. All this information is provided. Research work doesn't need to be done. It's all been given to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It tells us where the creation comes from, how it's manifest, who's in charge. Our Prabhupada says, you know, if you want to find out where God is, we can tell you. We know what his name is. We know where he lives. We know who his father is. You know, if you want to find out, Prabhupada makes the point, if you want to find out something about someone, what do? Well, who's his dad? Right? Which means, you know, which family was he born in? Isn't it? If you want to find out about somebody. So we know. We have it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that persons whose vision is clouded by the darkness of Kali will have their understanding of things illuminated, enlightened by the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very powerful. Srimad Bhagavatam is a very, very powerful literature, which is why Srila Prabhupada has, you know, put into our morning program the study of the Bhagavatam, so that we can understand all of these relationships, the sambandha. But after the sambandha, then comes the abhidheya, the putting of it all into practice. Because, you know, instructions are meant to be followed. They're meant to be applied. The whole process of devotional service is one of application, not of just sitting down and absorbing information. It's meant to be put into practice. That's how we'll get to the goal. The goal of devotional service is to develop our love of Godhead, and that's done practically. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna says, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. To who? Tesham satata yuktanam, to those who are always engaged in service. So there's a balance of sadhana, if you like. But even the sadhana is part of doing practically active devotional service. So Abhideya is the practical application of the knowledge that's presented in the Bhagavatam, putting it into practice. And of course, whilst the Shastra is paramount and of unequaled importance, still we have our authorities in the sadhu and the guru, as well as the Shastra. So we apply the Shastra under the auspices of the sadhus and the guru. Of course, the guru is a sadhu anyway. Right? One would hope so. And in that way, in the association of the devotees, we learn how to perform devotional service. In fact, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. You may study the Shastra for hundreds of lifetimes, let's say millions of lifetimes. But that won't necessarily allow you to enter into the intimacy of devotional service. Because it's mentioned, that's the Mahabharata. Mahajana Janikata Sapanta. If you want to understand the real essence of dharma or religiosity, then that is found in the behavior of the mahajans, in the behavior of the devotees. I mean, of course, it's very interesting to note that the Srimad Bhagavatam is, in essence, it's a study of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in the context of his relationships with the devotees. So a lot of the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually stories about the behavior of the devotees. Right? This is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami, Maitreya and Vidura, and on it goes. Vritrasura, Bali Maharaj. So, so many devotees, actually. Because, wherever you have Krishna, then what do you get? Devotees. So the Bhagavatam deals very specifically with these relationships and these relationships in action. Vritrasura is an interesting example. I was just thinking the other day. He knew he was going to die. Now, most of us, if we were faced with the predicament of dying, which we all are, actually, but we're all dying. if not now, then tomorrow, and if not tomorrow, then you're not. Yeah. So, who's comfortable with that? Who's comfortable? We don't even like to think about it. That's what, you know, yeah. Right? Which effectively says, you know, I don't want to know about it. Right? This is the song that everybody sings. I don't want to know about it. Don't tell me, I don't want to know about it. Why? Because it's too scary. Right? It's scary. One of the purposes of religion, Prabhupada says, is to know where you're going at the time of death. That way then, and you see this with Vritrasura. Vritrasura was a demon, right? Externally he was a demon. But actually he was a devotee. And he knew he was going to die. He knew that Indra had the weapon of made from the bones of Dadichi, right? Isn't it? Yeah, the weapon made from the... And that... another amazing personality. Let's speak about death. Dadichi was approached by the demigods because they were told by Brihaspati, that they could defeat the demons if they had a weapon made, or they could get rid of Vritrasura if they had this weapon made from the bones of Dadichi. And they asked Dadichi, can we have your bones? So what does that mean? If somebody comes up to you and asks you for your bones, what does that mean? You're going to die. But Dadichi was such a magnanimous personality, he said, sure, you can have my bones. It's for a good cause. Right? He was the founder, acharya of the donor, you know, the organ donor program. Sure, you can have my bones. If it's for the benefit of others, right? If it's for the spiritual benefit of others and the material benefit of others, and if it's going to make you happy, you know, you're a bona fide representative of the demigods, and the demigods are here to protect everybody and to make everyone happy. So sure, you can have my bones. And Vritrasura, who knew he was going to be killed by this weapon, he was happy to embrace this the fight with Indra, because he knew that his destination was going to be out of this material world. So he was happy to fight, even though he knew that he was going to be killed. Isn't that amazing? You know, we're thinking, oh, I've got to go to the doctor to stop death. Impossible, but, you know, that's what we think. So, or we're scared of it. We're scared of facing the fact that we have to leave the body. We're attached. So, you know, the Bhagavatam just has all of these amazing stories about the devotees. And you know, Vritrasura was so powerful, he struck, you know, the Indra's elephant. Arivata, is it? Is that his elephant? Yeah. And he hit it so hard that the elephant got knocked back 10 paces, right? So the elephant, you know how big an elephant is. Vritrasura smashed the elephant. The elephant went backwards. So Indra was thinking, oh my God, what have I got myself into here? Right? He was scared because Vritrasura was extraordinarily powerful. So he doubted his own power and potency too. And so Vritrasura, and so he was thinking, maybe I should run away. And Vritrasura understood that. So he more or less said to him, come on, fight. You're a Kshatriya. Don't be scared. You know, like Krishna mentions to Arjuna, you know, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom these fighting opportunities come unsought. Because they're the, you know, they give rise to elevation, elevation to the heavenly planets. So, there's so much about the activities of the devotees, the relationships. So this is very important. We study the Bhagavatam to understand the relationships, but then to know how to act properly, to realize who we are, what our position is. We can confirm that by approaching the devotees and the spiritual master, then inquiring what is my service? What service do you want me to do? Because that service attitude is part of our relationship with God. We're all servants. Like I mentioned the other day, you know, people don't have a servant, unable to serve, or you know, they want some pleasure out of their service, then they get a dog. Right? Not much pleasure in serving the boss. And even you get lots of money, still, you know, the attractiveness of money soon wears off. We want reciprocation in relationships. Huh? Affection, love and affection is what we want. So, you know, nobody else will love you except your dog. Right? You love him, he loves you. Licks you on the face. Huh? Because he's just, Prabhupada says, he's just seeing what you taste like. Waiting for the opportunity to eat you. So, we want, you know, happiness. We're all looking for happiness, and we seek that happiness in the relationships that we have, and the friendship, and we see that in the primary rasas, madhurya rasa, love and affection, vatsalya rasa. You know, it's interesting how, you know, a relationship between a man and a woman begins in the madhurya rasa, right? Conjugal rasa, isn't it? But then, after some time, it becomes vatsalya rasa. Usually, we're talking about, you know, a normal set of relationships, because conjugal produces what? Children. And then children means being a parent. So the conjugal rasa is changed. Huh? And then after the children have grown up and gone away, then it's your friends. Sakya rasa, friendship. And it's all based on, well, service. Dasyam, ultimately. So, Bhagavatam teaches all of these relationships, and other relationships too. That, you know, the relationship between the guru and the disciple, the relationship between the devotees and each other. All put into practice. So, you know, we learn to see, oh, he looks like a demon, but actually he's a big devotee. Right? Prahlad Maharaj, Vritrasura, Bali Maharaj. Right? Bali Maharaj is a demon. Notionally a demon, but actually he's one of the most famous devotees. And what is he famous for? Bali Maharaj is famous for disobeying his guru. Right? That proves that he's a real demon. Right? No, actually it proves that he's a topmost devotee. Because as it turns out, his guru is the demon. In fact, he's the guru of all of the demons. Right? That's quite... So it teaches us, Bhagavatam teaches us to look beyond the externals, or shall we say, look internally. That's how we can judge our own advancement, and it's how we can judge the advancement of others. We don't look at the externals. We look, and this is the Shastra Chakshush, the vision of the Shastra, or Jnana Chakshush. This is how we see. Right? This knowledge, Adi Sarage, at the beginning of the creation, Jnanam Param, this topmost knowledge, or here, Param is translated as sublime, right, purest knowledge. Mat Mahima, it gives my glories. Afa, is it? So, yeah, Avabhasam, that which clarifies. So very important. The Bhagavatam clarifies all of these things for us. So we can put the process of devotional service into action in our lives. Srimatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Ketana Hridyantastohya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. So, you know, just by hearing and chanting of the Bhagavatam, it is glorious in and of itself. It removes all of the inauspiciousness, Prabhupada says, the inauspiciousness of material existence, and establishes and puts us right into spiritual practice. So we should, you know, we have to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, but that's not. Chintrudma and I were just discussing this morning. It has to also be put into practice. We need to understand theoretically, and we need to think about it. We need to be able to absorb it, just like eating a meal. You put it in your mouth and you chew it. Then you swallow it and digest it. So the energy and the sustenance and the nourishment can be absorbed in the body. So similarly also, the Srimad Bhagavatam has to be heard and then digested. You know, we need to think about it and then put it into practice. And we pray also to be able to understand the principles more deeply so that it becomes part of our lives and not something just theoretical. Then we can get to the point of prayojana. That's the goal of devotional service. Right? Don't put it into practice and we won't get the benefits. If we just theoretically understand it, but don't do it, and that we can test. As I say, we can test who's doing it and who isn't doing it, even within ourselves, that those areas where we may be weak in our devotion. We can test. because the symptoms are described, or the symptoms are demonstrated by the behavior of these great devotees. Even not so great devotees. Who's a not so great devotee? Well, they're obviously great devotees because they're in the Bhagavatam. But who's a not so great devotee in the Bhagavatam? Of all of the great devotees. Starts with an A, that I can think of. Sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. Ajamil. Most of Ajamil's life was spent as a bit of a rogue, wasn't it? But still he's a great devotee. There's other devotees too. Interesting, you know, the lizard who was in the well, you know, spends most of his time as a lizard. It wasn't when Krishna touched him, then he became a demigod again, right? Manigriva and Nalukuvera, as an example of devotees' mercy, right? Great mercy from the Narada Muni, from the saints and sages. So, nashtava prayashaka badreshu nitya bhagavata sevaya. We remove the unwanted things from the heart by regularly serving the Bhagavat. Right? And Prabhupada explains Bhagavat the book and Bhagavat the devotee. Right? Bhagavat the book and Bhagavat the devotee. And for us, Bhagavat the devotee is Srila Prabhupada. Took the effort to give these books. Prabhupada said that he felt, even though he didn't know where he was going when he came off of the Jaladuta. Can you imagine? Arriving in New York and not knowing if anybody was going to pick you up or be there to greet you. Right? Prabhupada had 40 rupees of which he could only, you know, he could only use in India. He wasn't good. 40 rupees in New York was actually useless. He wouldn't have found anybody to change it. Right? There's probably nobody else in New York who had rupees. So could you imagine? I remember once I flew to LA once. I think it was the first time I went to LA, and I got there, and I don't know why, because I did have my mobile phone with me, but maybe the battery was flat. Right. And so, yeah, the battery was flat, right? So all of the information that I needed was in my phone, but I couldn't get it out. And so I thought, geez, I'm stuck here and I can't do it. I don't know anybody. What am I going to do? I mean, I probably would have worked it out, but it was a shocking experience for me to think, ooh, I'm stuck here, I'm stranded. What am I going to do? So, Prabhupada was in a pretty unique situation. But he said, I had confidence because I had the Srimad Bhagavatam with me. The Srimad Bhagavatam, which gave him the confidence and the security that his mission would be successful. So we've got Bhagavatam, the book, we've got Bhagavat, the devotee, so we have to serve Bhagavat, sevaya. We have to understand the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, and then we've got to go out and put it into practice, as Srila Prabhupada did. Right? He could have stayed in Vrindavan and you know, enjoyed the fullest experience of Krishna consciousness. Right? But in fact, actually, that's not the especially in the Kali Yuga, the fullest experience of Krishna consciousness, especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya, is not to just experience Krishna consciousness for ourselves. The test of our advancement is to give it to others. That's the, if you want the full taste of Krishna consciousness, then we have to be in the situation where we're giving it to others. That's the yuga dharma. Part of the Sankirtan Jagya, if you like. Jagyai Sankirtan Praya Yujantihi Sumedha Zaha. The Bhagavad Gita says, those who have intelligence will worship me in this Kali Yuga by the performance of Sankirtan, which means preaching. That's real charity. Giving Krishna consciousness to others. What is it? Kripa, Satya, Socham, and what's the other one? Tapa. Tapasya. These are the four qualities that we're meant to cultivate in our character. These are the characteristics of human beings. Right? Socham, cleanliness, satyam, truthfulness, tapa, austerity. You know, and that's not, you know, we don't have to go and sit on icebergs, right, and light fires in summer. That's not our tapasya, actually. Our tapasya is the four regulative principles. We support these qualities. And kripa, being merciful to others. You know, in the beginning, don't kill animals, basically. That's being merciful. Because much of society today is just slaughtering animals. You know, they wonder why they've got problems. Right? People wonder why have we got so many problems? Well, look at all the animals that you're killing. And then, you know, if you add two and two together, you might work out that's probably not a good idea. But people are so dull-headed, right? They can't even work that out. They can't see the importance of these things. You point it out to them and it's like, ooh, really? Right? So dull. But this is, you know, that's the beginning, kripa. But kripa, mercy, is really manifest in giving people this knowledge in the variety of ways that we do, distributing prasadam, distributing books, giving association. Like I was at the mantra lounge on the Wednesday. And nice people. But I could tell that some of the things that I was saying, and I was really just giving, you know, ABCs. You know, you're not the body type stuff. But people are so dull in this day and age, they don't have the vote. What we speak of, the topic is new or different. And even the vocabulary, the words that we use and the context that we use it in, it's rarely heard by people. And so therefore it surprises. It's like, and then they've got to, I'm going to think about this. Well, which is one of the reasons why Prabhupada wanted us, you know, to drink milk. Because we need that to nourish our finer brain tissues, so we can actually understand spiritual subject matter. Otherwise, you know, open up the Bhagavatam, we look at them and say, ooh. I remember when I first came to the temple and the devotee said, you have to read Prabhupada's books, you know. I'd pick up the Bhagavatam and it was like, the Bhagavad Gita was like, ooh, what's going on in here? Paramatma, Bhagavan, Brahman. Ugh. It was too hard. The first book I read that actually made any sense was Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. Very simple, basic book. I thought, wow, finally I found a book that I could read and actually understand. Now that's not a measure of the book, that's a measure of my foggy intelligence, foggy brain. But you know, as we're exposed to these things, then Bhagavan, Paramatma, Brahman, all these things start to make sense. We can work them out. Just like, you know, we're exposed to the names of people who come from India, and they're all easy to us after, you know, 25 years. We actually have to provide people with an introduction sometimes to these ideas and these concepts, and give them an opportunity to absorb it. Don't expect that they're going to understand things straight away. We didn't understand everything and straight away we heard the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and there's still things that we don't understand fully. May have an inkling or... So this is why the Bhagavatam is really so important. Bhagavad Gita is so important. And even the little books that Prabhupada wrote, very important just to give people an introduction. But this is part of our practice of devotional service, is to be merciful to others by giving them the truth, satyam. Prabhupada said, this is not religion, this is knowledge, this is the truth. Right? And we need to know it. We need to be able to apply it in our own lives, put it into practice, and then when we do that, we'll be in a position, as we mature and advance in devotional service, we'll be in a position where we can help others do the same thing. Very important. So, distributing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's mission. What? It establishes the personal conception of God, which is missing pretty much in modern society. Even the conception of God is missing. Right? What to speak of a personal conception? But that's what the Bhagavatam does. It helps us establish our personal relationship with the personality of God, Godhead, Krishna. And is why it's so important in this day and age. It's the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. It has been handed down carefully via the sampradaya. Right? The fruit at the top of the tree ripens first. But you don't just throw it, you know, there you go. You carry it down carefully so that it doesn't get damaged. So the sampradaya or the disciplic succession has carried the knowledge and the understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam carefully down to us so that we can relish it. The fruit of the Bhagavatam is juicy and sweet and doesn't have any skin or pip. Pretty good mango, huh? But needs to be treated very carefully. And we absorb We taste the fruit not by eating it with our tongues, but eating it through the ears. Right? This is a spiritual process. Angani yasya sakalendriya britti manti. Krishna's form, all of the limbs are capable of performing all of the functions of all of the other senses. Right? That's what's meant by a spiritual body. Right? So in these bodies, we convert them into spiritual bodies. We eat the Bhagavatam by hearing. The most important sense, Prabhupada says, of the human form. The most important sense, you know, we say, seeing is believing. Right? Seeing is believing. But that's not true, actually. I saw an article in somewhere, Media Watch, I think it was, or some. I bumped into it. And it had an article. It said, this couple have lived together for 50 years, but they've never seen each other. Right? Because they're both blind. Right? Couple both blind. So they never saw each other, but that doesn't mean because they didn't see in each other, they didn't believe that they were there. In fact, blind people can tell what's going on very acutely with their ears. Right? They can see what's going on with their ears. Never saw each other in 50 years. Had a whole five children. Right? And none of them are sight, what are they called? Impaired, yeah, vision impaired. None of their children were vision impaired. Pretty far out story, actually. But I thought, yeah, there you go. Seeing is not believing. They couldn't see a thing, but that doesn't mean because they couldn't see their partner that they didn't exist. So the Bhagavatam says, you know, hearing is believing. We have to, and we have to have faith. We have to have faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I think we'll finish here. It's 9 o'clock. Does anybody have any comments or questions in 30 seconds? Manmohan. Out of reach, you become discouraged. Well, I think that's why there's stories of personalities like Ajamil, just to give us a bit of encouragement. Huh? Narada Muni. Well, you know, I don't think so. If you look at the Bhagavatam, yes, very elevated personalities, but also, you know, starting off from almost scratch. Right? And you know, yes, we're disqualified. And Prabhupada said that to his disciples, you know. They asked Prabhupada, you know, what qualification did we have that we've got the opportunity to perform devotional service? And Prabhupada said, none. You have none. But he said, I created your opportunity for you. Right? So I think one shouldn't be discouraged by the example. But anyway, look at the gopis, you know, the residents of Vrindavan. They, in one sense, certainly, yes, they're very advanced, obviously, to be there. It's mentioned. The cowherd boys, the friends of Krishna and Balaram, must, you know, have performed all of, you know, all pilgrimages to all holy places, studied all the shastras, performed all of the austerities, given so much in charity, all of those things they've done, right? But at the same time, they're just presenting as very, very simple devotees, right? So we can do that too. Their example is inspiring for us because they're not, you know, at least, okay, they may have done all of those things, but their position now is just as simple devotees. So we can do that, can't we? Well, you can make a garland, can't you? You ever made a garland? Put him on the roster. That was one of my services one of the first services I had in a Bhagavatam class was to make Prabhupada's garland every morning. Right? So, you know, how hard is it? It's not that hard. Needle, thread, flowers. Yeah, that's right. That's their example.
And so that inspiration you get from them becomes a desire within you, even though you may not be qualified.
Yep. Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Das Anudas. We follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Serving the Gopi Bhatu, the master of the gopis, Krishna. So we're the servant of the servant of the servant. So that means then, that comes from an understanding of the Bhagavatam, right? And so then we understand, sweeping the courtyard, going to crossways, book distribution, dressing the deities, all of these activities are part of the spiritual world. They're not actually part of the material world. Even though we're not qualified, somehow by Krishna's grace, we're in that circumstance where we can engage in purely spiritual activities. Not a tinge of materialism in it at all. But we need the vision to see that. We need to be able to see and have faith. Very important to have faith. Ashradadhanas. What is it? Ashradadhanas. Dharmasya. One who doesn't have faith goes back to birth and death, basically. So if we have faith, and the Bhagavatam is meant to instill that faith in us by the example of the big and the small devotees, because they're all big in that sense. So that's the benefit. Even though there are examples which are very elevated and, you know, almost seemingly impossible to follow in the footsteps of. But we get that opportunity just by studying the Bhagavatam, actually. Right? Interestingly enough. And as Chitrupa says, that's an inspiration for us. We want to be like them. And in fact, if we're studying the Bhagavatam properly, then we'll want to be like the residents of Vrindavan. That's our process. In the Raga Bhakti. Read the Nectar of Devotion. Okay, alright. Gondarashi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.